us, that you would move us from a place where we've been fed to a place where we feed ourselves and feed others so that we have strength for the course of faith, for the race that you call us to run. Lord, I pray that my words this morning would be acceptable to you. I pray, Lord, that you would use these mere human words and that by the power of your Spirit, you would turn them into something bigger, that they would nestle in our hearts and our minds, and they might have the effect that you would desire. We make all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was mentioning at the beginning of our worship time together, last week we began a brand new series of messages here called I Love the 80s, and we started off by talking about moms of the 80s, kind of sitcom moms of the 80s, and we said that one of the things we learned from the sitcom moms of the 80s was that there's many different ways to be mom, and that being a mom is a hard job. But God comes alongside moms and empowers them and lifts them up and is with them in the difficult job of motherhood. Today we turn, though, to one of the well-known sitcoms of the 1980s as another jumping-off point, and that sitcom is known as Growing Pains. And we're going to use Growing Pains as a jumping-off point to talk about how having faith in Jesus Christ is really a journey. It's really a race to be run. Some of you may remember the show Growing Pains that happened in the 1980s. Some of you might need a little bit of a reminder. And so we thought we would show you this as a reminder.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end.
We're nowhere near
the best. The best is ready to begin. As long as we got each other, we got the world spinning right in our hands. Baby, rain or shine, all the time, we got each other, sharing the laughter and love.
Growing Pains was originally a sitcom on ABC that started in September of 1985 and actually went to April of 1992, having seven very successful seasons. The kind of the story behind the show Growing Pains was that it was about a family and all of their travails of being a family and how they grew children and how they grew as a family and the growing pains that they experienced as they went on as a family. The father in the family was a guy named Jason Seaver. That was the character played by Alan Thicke, a psychiatrist who had his practice in his home. The mother was named Maggie Seaver. She was a journalist, and together Maggie and Jason raised a number of children. They often worried about who would stay home with the baby. They often worried about how they would be there for their children. And sometimes they would even fight about those things, but in the end, it all seemed to kind of work out. The youngest child, who some of you, if you watched the show, may or may not have remembered, was Chrissy. She wasn't born until the fourth season of Growing Pains, and then they did one of those magical things they always do on television sometimes between seasons. Between the fourth and fifth season, Chrissy went, you know, from a little baby to a five-year-old. You got to love how they do that on television. And then the oldest of the four children was Mike, a daredevil yet charming teenager. That was played by Kirk Cameron, who was probably the most popular character on the show, the most popular actor. With Kirk Cameron, the ratings for Growing Pains kind of shot through the roof. He kind of became this teenage icon of the time, being on all these teenage magazines. Now, the second oldest child was Carol. She was the complete opposite of the daredevil Mike, who was kind of happy-go-lucky. Carol was a straight-A student, and her brothers would actually say that she was a nerd, but it was through the character of Carol that the show dealt with some pretty heavy subjects, you know, and some subjects that had to do with growing pains. For instance, you know, through Carol, they dealt with issues from Carol wanting a job to dealing with the death of her boyfriend, who was actually played by Matthew Perry, to tolerating her roommate at Columbia University. Carol added a lot of comedy and drama and a serious side to the show. Then there was little Ben. Ben was a clever con artist in the beginning, and as he grew up during the show and became a teenager, he became kind of dopey, kind of naive. And sometimes he was his brother's sidekick, and other times he was his brother Mike's kind of worst enemy and a pain in the butt. The sitcom ended when Maggie got a job in Washington, D.C., and the family had to move from Long Island, New York, to Washington, D.C. In the last episode, the Seaver family gathers in their empty living room after they moved out all the stuff, and they have a picnic blanket, and they reflect on the times that they've shared as a family. They reflect on the growing pains that they experienced. Now, as the title suggests, Growing Pains was about the joys and the struggles of a family that was raising children and trying to raise a family. And as with any type of growth, there were fits and starts. There were times when the family and the children seemed to make great strides. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, for Jason, the father, and Maggie, the mother, when they would seem to take two or three steps forward, it would seem that they would take five or six back, especially when it came to Mike, played by Kirk Cameron. What the seven seasons of Growing Pains taught us, though, is that raising children, raising a family, is it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's not something that you get to and that's the end of it. It's not one of those, you know, one-time deals. Well, how does this relate to faith, then? How does this relate to the Bible? Well, the same thing is true when it comes to our faith in Jesus Christ and our call to follow Jesus. And that is, faith is a journey. Faith is not a destination that you get to and that's it. But instead, faith is an ongoing process. It's not a one and done thing. It's not only about getting a ticket punch so we can get to heaven. And so once we get that ticket punch, that's the end of it. Instead, it's a lifelong journey whereby we draw closer to Christ, whereby we gather with other people in a community of faith called the church to work for the transformation of the world, and whereby we seek to draw closer to Christ so we can love God more fully and love the people around us. And that whole thing is a journey. Now, in one of the former churches I served, it was a small country church, and when I got there, they didn't have a Sunday school. And so I helped them to think through and to put into place some plans so that they could have a Sunday school, you know, religious education classes. And so they started this little Sunday school, and they had it going for a couple of months. When one of the older men who I knew that he didn't attend Sunday school came up to me one day, and he said, "You know, I don't attend Sunday school." And I said, "I know." And he said, "Do you want to know why I don't attend Sunday school?" And I said, "Please enlighten me." He said, "Because," jokingly, "I graduated from Sunday school when I was a kid. I graduated from Sunday school." And I proceeded to tell him, "Sonny, guess what?" That was his name. He was older than I. "Sonny, you never graduate from Sunday school. You never, ever graduate from Sunday school. You're always supposed to be learning as a follower of Jesus." And the same is true for all of us as followers of Jesus. We never graduate from being a follower of Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus is a lifelong journey filled with fits and starts, filled with all kinds of difficulties, but also filled with all kinds of joy. Now, the Bible talks about that journey in many different ways. It gives us a number of different pictures, but one of the primary pictures that the Bible gives us for this journey of faith that we're on that includes growing pains is that of a race. The Bible talks about this journey of faith that we're on as followers of Jesus as kind of a race. The writer of Hebrews encourages followers of Jesus, as Kathy read so well, he encourages followers of Jesus to get rid of the sin and the brokenness that would slow us down in this race, to be determined to run the race ahead of us, to keep our eyes and our minds on Jesus and not to give up in this race. Now, when the Bible describes the journey of faith as a race, I think the Bible isn't talking about kind of a 50-yard dash. But instead, I think the Bible is talking about this journey of faith as a race more like a marathon. More like a marathon. And you know how appropriate that we would say and talk about marathons when they have the, you know, historic half marathon, Marine Corps marathon happening this morning in the city of Fredericksburg. I went down there and snapped that picture earlier. And if you believe that, I have some others to tell you. But that this race that's described in the Bible, this journey of faith, it's like a marathon. And like we saw in that video, you know, sometimes in the marathon, you want to give up. You want to quit. Sometimes, you know what, you get a pain in your leg or you turn your ankle just the wrong way. But then there's other times in the marathon, too, where you get a second wind. And so by mile, you know, 17, you know, you get that second wind, and so you're able to finish. And then you're able to cross the finish line, and you feel so good. You know, in a marathon, in a race, kind of like this journey of faith that we're on, I mean, in there times when we experience pain in our lives or we feel that God is far away, we begin to think, why don't we just give it up? Why don't we just stop following Jesus and trying to follow Jesus? Aren't there times in our lives when we experience pain and hurt? We get that spiritual pain in our leg, but yet we have to keep on going to cross the finish line of faith, to receive the crown of eternal glory as we cross the finish line of this life and go to be with Jesus. Well, today as we contemplate the journey of faith with Jesus and the growing pains that sometimes go along with that, and today as we contemplate that either for the first time or if we've been following Jesus on this journey for a long time, I want to give you some really basic ways that we can, on this journey of faith, feed ourselves so that we can stay strong in this race, so that we can continue on in this race, so that we don't give up. Because here's the thing, friends. When you start out as a follower of Jesus, you need to be fed. You know, when I first became a follower of Jesus, I needed to be fed. So did each and every one of us. When we become followers of Jesus, we need someone to come alongside us, to take us under their wings, so to speak. You know, when I became a follower of Jesus at the age of 16, I had no idea what it meant to follow Jesus. I had no idea about the Bible. I had no idea what I was supposed to do, what I wasn't supposed to do. I had no idea what it meant to faithfully follow Jesus. But some people came alongside me, and they fed me. They began to explain the Bible to me. They began to explain what it means to follow Jesus. They began to explain what it means to take up the cross and to follow Christ, to lose one's life in order to gain it. And I'm so thankful for those people. But here's the thing, church. There comes a time in our lives where we need to move from being fed in the high chair, spiritually speaking. We need to move from being babes in Christ to actually feeding ourselves, where we have to actually move from the high chair of faith, where we're fed, to the adult table, where we use our own fork and our own spoon and our own knife at the adult table to begin to then feed ourselves and then feed others. You see, there's nothing wrong with being fed for a time. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we're all in that place at one time or another. The problem comes, though, when after a few months or after a number of years, you still find yourself in a high chair wanting to be fed all the time. That's where the problem comes. There's followers of Jesus who expect to receive all that they need to eat for this journey of faith that we're on, all that we need to eat and be filled with for this race that we're running, by coming to a worship service for 1 hour on Sunday morning. That somehow if you come for 1 hour on Sunday morning, then hey, you're good for the rest of the week. You're filled up. You're fed for the rest of the week. But the problem comes in that no matter how good the preaching is, no matter how good the band is, no matter how friendly the people are, 1 hour on Sunday morning won't fill us up. It won't feed us enough. And what I have found is that the people who rely just on 1 hour on Sunday morning to feed them, they begin to say things like, you know, I'm just not being fed at church anymore. You know, the church and the message and all that goes on there, it's not deep enough. It's not deep enough. And they complain. You know what I would say to that? And remember, I'm talking to people that are supposed to be moving from the high chair to the table. Is that don't rely on me to feed you. Don't rely on me. Because guess what? If you rely on me to feed you for 20 minutes on a Sunday, then you are going to be starving. If you rely on Steve to feed you through the music, you are going to be starving. If you rely solely on the church and what happens in the church to feed you, you will starve. It would kind of be like going to the trough. That's what I call the Golden Corral. If you go to the trough, right, on Sunday afternoon, and you take all the buffet and eat the buffet, right? Eat all of that, and you know, you just kind of pig out and eat it all on a Sunday afternoon. You know, it would be like then expecting that to feed you for the rest of the week, to keep you full. Now, we know by morning we'll be hungry again. Well, the same thing is true for this journey of faith that we're on, for this race that we run, that we need to move from just being fed to feeding ourselves and then in turn feeding others. Well, how do we do that? Let me give you some ways that I think we can move from the high chair of faith to the table of faith and feed ourselves. The first way that we can begin to feed ourselves so that we can then feed others is to engage in prayer. That's the first blank there in the message download if you have taken that out and are following along with that. It's to engage in prayer. Look at what the Bible tells us. It says, in those days, he, meaning Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. Now, Jesus, who this verse talks about, went out to the mountain and prayed to God. Jesus, who was the smartest man ever to walk the face of this earth, Jesus, who was the most compassionate man ever to walk the face of this earth, Jesus, who was actually God with us, took time to step back and to pray. So if Jesus, the smartest, most compassionate, most God with us, divine man to ever walk this face of this earth, took some time to pray to feed himself, doesn't it make sense that we as his followers would do the same? I mean, if Jesus had to do it, how much more should we have to do it? Right? Now, I don't think the Bible is saying necessarily prescribing that, hey, you and I need to go out all night to the mountain to pray. But I think what the Bible is saying is that we need to pray. That we need to pray. And it's through prayer that we can begin to feed ourselves. Now, I know that you'll say, and I would probably say too, well, I'm too busy to pray. That I don't have time to pray. And I know that we're all busy. And you know what? Probably the worst thing you could do after today is go home and make a resolution in your mind and your heart that I'm going to start getting up at 4:30 every morning, or I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning and pray for 45 minutes, because guess what? Those things don't work. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you're not already praying, try this. For 5 minutes, for the next 5 days, take 5 minutes to engage in conversation with God. Whether you want to use the prayer list that's in there in your news and notes insert in your worship program, or whether you want to pray to God just about whatever's on your heart, or whether you want to just praise God, take 5 minutes to have some conversation with God. And know this, that you don't necessarily have to be on your knees, you know, in front of your bed. You can do that if you want, if that helps you. But you know what? You can pray in the shower. You can pray driving to work. You can pray as you're waiting in line at the grocery store. You can pray as you're waiting for your son or daughter's ball game to be over. Take 5 minutes. Start small and then try to increase. Pray as Jesus prayed if you want to grow and you want to grow in this journey of faith and you want to feed yourself. Second thing that can help us to be spiritually healthy in this race is read the Bible. I told you, these are groundbreaking truths, friends. I mean, prayer, you know, reading the Bible. I mean, these I know are complicated and so, you know, unobvious. Is that a word? The second thing we can do to help us spiritually and feed ourselves is to read the Bible. The Bible says this about itself and about God's Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. In other words, the Bible is the lamp that illuminates this journey that we're on. It shines its light on this journey that we're on. Now, here's the thing. Look, I know the Bible can be a confusing book. And I know that there's some of us who think that the only Bible out there is the one that has all these and thous and genealogies and things, the King James Version, you know? And I want to tell you that while I love the language there and it's pretty, there's other Bible translations out there that we can actually understand and don't need a translation of the translation. And so I encourage you to get a Bible that you can actually read and understand. And then, you know, I also know that there's parts of the Bible that we don't understand. That sometimes can prevent us. We get thinking, oh gosh, you know, I don't understand the Bible. There's so much that I just can't understand about it. Well, church, I have to tell you that, you know what? I spent 3 or more years trying to understand the Bible, where I actually went to school for it and paid people to help me understand the Bible. And there's still parts of the Bible that I don't understand. You see, but don't let what you don't understand prevent you from reading what you can understand, you see. And here's the thing about it, is that they make it so easy now to read your Bible. In your worship program and the message download there, there's a couple of resources that I've given you. Some websites that you can go to, and you can sign up so that they will send you in an email a link to a Bible reading chapter for the day. You can click on that link, and it'll take you there. You know, how awesome is that? How convenient is that? Or some of you in the past that have liked that Upper Room devotional book, well, guess what? It's online, and they'll send it to your email address. What a wonderful reminder to, hey, feed yourself during the week. Feed yourself by reading the Bible. Feed yourself in prayer. The final thing that I want to share with you, that where you can feed yourself, grow in your faith, be filled up and prepared for this journey, to move from the high chair of faith to the table of faith, is get involved in the church. See, friends, church isn't meant to be a spectator sport where we just sit and spectate. But church is meant to be participatory. It's meant for us to get involved. The writer of Hebrews in another part of Hebrews wrote this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's two ways that I see, two primary ways that we get involved in the church. The first way is to be consistent. To be consistent in worship attendance. I mean, it's kind of like this. If you want to get healthy in your body, and you want to lose weight and get fit, you can't just go to the gym once a month. You have to be consistent and go 2 or 3 times a week. And thereby, you improve your health. Thereby, you lose weight. The same is true when it comes to this spiritual thing, when it comes to this journey of faith. If we want to get strong for the race, then we have to be consistent. We have to consistently attend and draw together in the community of faith. The second way is to serve. Is to get involved by serving. Whether that be unloading a truck or loading a truck, teaching in the Blast Children's Ministry, being in the band, or whether it means doing something outside of the church, being a big brother or big sister, coaching a ball team, going to serve at an agency that helps the poor, however you would do that. It's when we serve that we engage in tangible acts of love. You know, one of the best indicators that someone has moved from the high chair to the table is whether they serve or not. Because it's in serving that we demonstrate tangible acts of love and we become mature followers of Jesus. So here's the takeaways this morning. To sum it up, following Jesus is a journey. It is a journey where we're called for a time to soak in, to be fed. But it's also a journey where we're called to feed ourselves and feed others by engaging in prayer and Bible reading, service, attendance, participation. It's all those things. It's a journey that's fraught with growing pains, but it's a journey whereby we cross the finish line and we experience the joy of our Master who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Lord, you know that each one of us is on this journey of faith with you. We all come to this journey at different points. Some of us are just starting out and learning what it means to follow you. And we, for a time, need to be fed. But Lord, we know that you don't call us to stay there. But you call us to begin to feed ourselves. And then you further call us not just to feed ourselves, but then in turn to welcome another who's a babe in Christ and begin to feed them. Lord, we pray for strength for this journey, for this race that you've called us to run. As we experience those growing pains of this journey, we pray that you come alongside us, that you would give us perseverance, that we might keep our eyes fixed on you, that you might heal the sin and the brokenness in our lives, that we could hear the words one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master." We pray this in the name of the Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Earlier this morning, I asked you to take out of your worship program the communication card. If you want to take that out again.